Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Welcome to Blindsight. This is your host, Phil Lundgren, and I'm delighted to have Kevin Peterson as our guest today. Kevin was on the air talking about step nine last. We're going through all the steps and we've come to step 12 of AA and also a step 12 in terms of taking a look at your life, we hope. And so, Kevin, Okay. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. Now, this step 12 is like the coda, the finality to all we've done over the last 12 weeks. And I wondered, if you would read step 12, and also tell us a little bit about what it means for you.
Sure. I'm gonna pull it up on my handy dandy app just so I get it right.
Good.
I don't want anyone thinking I'm taking any liberties in the
Well, what app are you using, Kevin?
The one I'm currently using is Everything AA.
Oh, Everything AA. Okay.
Yeah. I've got a whole bunch, right? I've got the chair app, I got a couple of ones that count days and all that sort of thing. And then,
so people can get this one, get the big book, I think through.
Oh yeah.
Everything AA. Yeah. Good.
Yes, absolutely. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So, we have three elements here, three pieces of the puzzle. And the thing about step 12, before we even, like we talked about last time, there's a technical side of every step and there's a spiritual side of every step. And, you know, the spiritual side of this step is you're closing the circle,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you know how you see, you know, the symbol, the circle and the triangle, right? You know, the circle is everything's circular. You're giving back what you were given. And so it's critical, you know, well, first of all, you have to do the first 11 in order to do 12.
Right. Some people like to skip a few, but you're right. Yeah.
Exactly, Bill. You know, you've seen that too, uh-huh. Huh? That happens where you are. Yeah, same thing. And we call that carrying the mess, not carrying the message, you know. And so that's always something you want to start with,
right.
You know, is that in order to practice step 12, you actually have to have done the first 11 steps.
Right.
And, you know, that doesn't mean you can't take someone to a meeting and you can't tell someone how much better your life is.
Right.
But, you know, it's, you gotta have it to give it.
Right.
Well, really
some people go to a meeting, after two meetings, they're ready to sponsor somebody.
Yeah. Who needs to write inventory and make amends?
That's right.
Those are formalities, you know,
yeah.
Those are technicalities. And you know, as like kind of what we talked about last time, when I see people struggling with this step, you know, it always traces back to step one.
Right.
Everything traces back to step one. You know, either you are not convinced that you're an addict or an alcoholic, or you're not convinced that you're powerless. You
right.
know? And any type of balking, any type of stalling, it's one of those two, right?
Good point.
And mm-hmm. What do we get for step 12? Here's what we get. I'm too busy. Oh, I can't sponsor people. I've got kids, I got a job. I give my name and number to every single new guy and nobody calls me. You know, I actually said that to a really close friend of mine, Paige, in North Carolina, when I was 10 years sober. I was celebrating 10 years sober. I'm like, dude, I give my name to everybody. And they never call. And he's like, Kevin, how many people did you call when you were new? And I was like, oh.
He's like,
you got to get their number, bro. And so, you know, I started realizing that, sure, I'll give you my number, but I want yours. You know,
good idea.
And mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I mean, it's, let's get serious about this, right? And so, the three pieces of the puzzle, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Okay. So what we're saying is we have worked the 11th, first 11 steps, and we are now in step 12, and we have had a spiritual awakening. What does that mean? As my first sponsor said, Kevin, every time you tell the truth, it's a spiritual awakening. <You know? laughs> But that's the thing, right?
Right.
We're not talking about lightning bolts out of the sky.
Right.
All right. We're talking about showing up to work on time every day and staying the entire time.
Right.
You know, we're talking about doing what you say you're going to do.
Right. That's the biggie.
Yeah, you know, and we're talking about, and also, we're not talking about being a big shot. We're talking about being a member of the team.
Yes.
And humility, right, is just showing up on time, doing what you said you're going to do, participating, and helping others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a great line in the book that I just love. It says, Our lives today depend upon the constant thought of others and how we can help them, you know, and our very lives depend upon the constant thought of others and how we can help them. And that's the truth, right?
Yeah.
And we've all, no, just like we've seen people skip steps, we've also seen people get too deeply into helping others, you know, getting into the, you know, I don't take care of myself. I sacrifice right. myself. I give people money, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, no, 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 no.
That's not what it says. That's a biggie. Because especially if we get enthusiastic about something, we want to force it on them. And we just forget that we have to take care of ourselves. It seems selfish to do that, but that's exactly what we have to be a little bit selfish.
Well, and you're right, but it's not selfish, you know, it's actually, so, I mean, I get what you're saying. You got to take care of yourself, but the act of taking care of yourself is actually a selfless act,
yes.
right? Because you're preparing yourself to help others.
That's a good way to put it.
If I don't pay my bills, if I don't show up to work, if I don't take care of myself, I am then not capable of being a good brother or a good husband. You know, and so I have to put those things as a priority. And that's, to me, in that first part of the 12th step, when they say having had a spiritual awakening, to me, that's what it is. And for me, the spiritual awakening is looking around the room and realizing, wow, where did all these other people come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how can I be of service to them? What can I do to make this better? You know, or just help them, you know? So that's the first part, right? And I think that's the spiritual side of it. And then I think, you know, the technical side of it is, like we talked about earlier, is having done the first 11 steps, you know, and you know, having a discipline of prayer and meditation in 11, you know, doing personal inventory on the spot in 10, you know, having had made amends. Having identified my character defects and asked God to remove them and then made a list, you know, just walking your way back, right? And, you know, it's not, the steps are not something that you just check the box and click and you're done with
right.
and away I go, you know? It's a way of life, right? It's a discipline. It's a structure. And from that comes benefit. I coined a phrase, I'm sure I didn't, but I thought I did. I coined a phrase when I was in graduate school about 10 or 12 years ago. It said, stability is the new sexy, you know, and because it is, you know, people want stability in their lives and, you know, they want, and your family wants you to be stable and be stable for them. You know, my wife likes the fact that I am consistent and stable. I show up when I say I'm going to show up. I do what I'm going to say. I pay the bill when I say I'm going to, you know, and I take the trash out when I say I'm going to take the trash out. Those things are, I mean, most addicts and alcoholics will tell you it's boring, you know, compared to the old lifestyle.
Right.
But those are the foundational pieces of getting the relationship that you want with others. So to me, that's the first part. You know, and then we tried to carry this message to alcoholics. Okay. So like we said, you know, carrying the message is definitely, you know, going where the alcoholics are, you know, going to the jails, going to the hospitals, going to the clubs, you know, because that's where the new guy shows up. You know, the new guy doesn't show up with all the guys our age that have been sober 30 years.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. He shows up at the new kid meeting, you know, the treatment centers, you know, you got to go there and you got to put your hand out and you got to say, you know, I'm here to help. Please call me. What's your name? What's your number? I'll call you. And you know, that's to me. And then the message, what's the message? Well, you know, it's really funny because a lot of people will tell you a lot of different answers. And I had an old sponsor that said, he would always say, if I'm the only one that ever said this to you today, you never have to drink again, ever. You know, you never have to live like that again. I go, and he's like, if that's all you hear at the meeting tonight, that's great. You know, you never have to drink again and you never have to live like that again. And we can show you how, you know,
but that's all, you know, at times that's the message that they're a newbie would have a tendency to kind of gloss over.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And they want to get all philosophical and talk, you know, about big things and all sorts of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, mm-hmm. you got to simplify it. You know, you got to keep it simple and just be like, that's, you don't got to drink.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also that one day at a time, because the idea for a newbie of never drinking again is, psychologically is a little off-putting, but if you say one day at a time or keep dressing, which the program does, then people sort of gradually find the days add up.
Yeah, right. And you know, the other thing too, that popped into my head while you were saying that is that I remember I was at the campus group in Boulder, Colorado, probably a good 15, 20 years ago. And this guy raised his hand. His name was Glenn. He raised his hand. And he's like, I relapsed. I went out again. And you know, and there were some shares. You know, people tend to get a little mean. You know, like, let me tell you what you're doing wrong. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I raised my hand and I said, you know what? Alcoholics drink. Drug addicts use drugs. That's what we do. And it's abnormal for us not to do those things. And it's hard for us to learn how not to do those things. So when somebody says they relapsed or they had a struggle or they goofed, I don't beat them. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad you came back. I'm glad you're in one piece. Because nowadays, you know, with the stuff that's on the streets today, they don't come back.
Right. No, they don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, we never see him again. And, you know, but that's the important thing. And my wife actually, had a relapse, I think like at 5 years, and she went to, in Denver, there's this huge clubhouse called York Street.
Right.
And she went,
I live right near it.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And she went to the 7 a.m. meeting and she fessed up that she had a relapse. And man, they were vicious. They went after her and told her. And
yeah.
You know those people. But then this one guy who was actually a visitor from out of town raised his hand and said, you know, I don't know what the hell you people are talking about. We don't shoot our wounded here. You know, we help them back up and get them back on track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't eat them. We help them. You know, this poor woman raised her hand and said, I made a mistake and you guys are throwing her under the bus.
Right.
You know,
good point.
Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. I get that because it comes from fear that may happen to me.
Yeah. I was just thinking that as you were saying it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's the thing. Right. And so, when we talk about, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a relative, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics. What's the message? The message is I have learned to be patient, loving, and tolerant.
Yes.
I've learned to be honest, open-minded, and willing. And that beautiful part of the spiritual experience of Appendix 2 that says, I have learned that I am not going to have contempt prior to investigation. You know, this is your experience. I'm here for you. Tell me what you need. I got your back. You know, I'm not throwing you under the bus. That's just how it works, you know. And we have to understand, as alcoholics in long-term recovery, or addicts in long-term recovery, that's the message that works.
Right.
Not the message of shame. Exactly. Or finger pointing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
because everybody makes mistakes.
Yes, to make mistakes. And when we talk more broadly from alcoholism or addiction even, I know some friends of mine have been kind of embarrassed because they don't have an addiction, but they know about the program. They say, gee, I wish I had something that was covered in the program, because it really helps you to see yourself in a more human way, that we do make mistakes. We may relapse, but that doesn't mean the end of the world. That means we're just human.
Right. And yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, that's the thing. We're not looking to be perfect.
Right.
You know, I mean, one of my favorite phrases is that, you know, we don't get A's in AA, you know, you know,
good point. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I remember being younger and newer and thinking, you know, I told my sponsor, I'm like, I want you to have a bumper sticker that says my sponsee was AA member of the month, you know, you know, and he was like, Kevin, I don't want that. I want you to be human.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're human, you're relatable, you know.
Good point.
The new guy, like you talked about the new guy, if all he sees is a bunch of guys with time that are perfect, he's going to think, I am in the wrong place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we have to be able to walk in there and say, man, I blew it yesterday. You know, I yelled at my wife.
I did all the things the program tells you not to do.
But
you're still there. You're still in the room.
Yeah, because it turns out I'm a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have a mechanism for resolving that. We have an amends. You know, if I'm pissed or angry, I'll write inventory, you know, and then I'll make amends. And then if I'm in the moment, I'll tell you what, yesterday I was leading a 4-day family program yesterday. It was the fourth day. And the day before, I had snapped at one of the moms, you know, and I mean, you know, she was pushing my buttons, but I snapped, and there's no excuses, you know, and I called a friend of mine in the program the next day, yesterday. I said, there's something eating my lunch. And she's like, what's up? And I told her the whole thing. And she's like, well, let's do a 10th step, you know, and she's like, where are you angry? Where are you resentful? Where are you being dishonest? Where are you selfish? Where are you self-seeking? What are you afraid of? And we nailed it all. And she's like, okay, so ask God to remove the defects of character.
Right.
Turn your thought. Oh my gosh, I'm completely spaced out. Ask God to remove the defects of character. You know, make amends. And she's like, you need to apologize. You need to make amends to her because he snapped at her. And then she said, turn your thoughts to someone you can help. You know. And talk to somebody else. And she's like, you're doing that now. Ask God, make amends, and turn your thoughts to someone you can help. She's like, go back into that crowd and help those people, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, and that's now we just defined humility.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And to me, that is the meat and potatoes of what we do here. You know, it's funny, Bill. Is that everybody thinks 12-step recovery is 95% about drugs and alcohol. And it's really not.
Mm.
You know, it's 5% about drugs. Because in the first step, right, it's we're powerless over fill in the blank. And then we don't talk about it again, right? And the next 11 and a half steps, we're going to talk about how you have to change how you live, you know, and how you act and how you behave and how you treat people.
Right.
Because that's what the goal is here. I'm sure you've heard the term spiritual kindergarten, you know, and that's Don Pritz. I don't know if you ever knew Don back in the day from Aurora.
No, I didn't.
He was one of my mentors. He died in 2005. And he would say, you have to remember, we're all in spiritual kindergarten. Nobody here has this thing figured out, you know? And when you have that kind of attitude, that's attraction, right? That's
exactly,
you know, that's me having jelly on my face and not knowing it, you know, and being okay.
What you're talking about is our acknowledging that it's okay to be human. Ugh. And to here's a way that you correct mistakes that you make. But we're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Yep. The problem comes in is when we try to be perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever been perfect, but even trying to be perfect is exhausting.
Oh, that's exactly the word I was thinking of. It is absolutely exhausting to try to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
And so now to be human and just to accept our humanity but also to own up mistakes that we make, which is the difference, allows us to be, let's face it, happier with life.
You can, because you're not constantly worrying about, you know, oh my gosh, you know, did I do something wrong? Or
right.
I want to make sure I get this, you know, and you're just in the moment with like, well, there you go, you know?
And that perfectionism affects a lot of people with blindness. They have nothing to do with addiction, but it's that thing, well, because I'm blind, I can't be imperfect. Sorry, guy.
No, I can totally see. Sorry, bad pun. I can see that. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. And that makes perfect sense in the idea that, you know, I have to work harder. Or I have to be better. And it's like, no, you just got to be you.
And that's exhausting. You
know? Ugh, God, I'm telling you. You know, I had a neat moment yesterday. I was in the airport in Aspen, Colorado, getting ready to fly back to Florida. And I was sitting at the gate, and two seats over from me was a young woman who was signing, I think, with her mother on FaceTime, you know, and I thought, wow, how cool is that? You know, that is so neat that to have a medium that is really, you know, intent on, like, you know, vision and hearing,
right?
And she obviously can't hear, or maybe her mom couldn't hear, and they're not even speaking.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I was just like, how cool is that? You know, and that was just so neat. That was just one of those, you know, God moments, right? Where you're I am so lucky to be here, you know? Yeah. So the last part of our 12th step, to practice these principles in all our affairs, it's kind of what you and I have just been talking about, mm-hmm. right? Is that the principles are that, you know, honesty, open-minded willingness, and humility, you know, and just being there and being, you know, I like the phrase when people say, you know, you may be the only copy of the big book somebody ever reads. And I get that, but that doesn't mean you got to be perfect.
Exactly.
You know, what it means is you got to be able to say, I work the steps in this program, and this is how I live my life. And these are the things that I've become, and this is who I am. And, you know, take that for what it is. You know, it doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I always get things right, you know, but it does mean that I'm going to show up and I'm going to try and I'm going to do the best I can on some days. You know, other days I'm going to be angry and annoyed and irritable and absent-minded and inconsiderate. And but then when I realize that, I can come back and take responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we're gonna have a spiritual awakening. You know, we're gonna change the way we act and behave and treat others. To me, the spiritual awakening is I'm gonna change the way I treat other people.
Yep. Be aware of other people.
Right. Exactly. And then, you know, then I'm going to try to carry this message and, you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, lasso you and jam you into a meeting and force you. It means I'm going to say, hey, you know, if there's another way to live and I'd be happy to show you how to do it. You know, you know, and that's really funny. The last time I flew home from Colorado, I was on the bus taken where I parked the car, and the guy, I was only two of us in the bus, and the guy's like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a therapist at a drug and alcohol treatment center up in Aspen. And he's like, oh yeah, I've been trying. That's something I got to take care of. I've been trying to get that squared away.
Oh, really?
And I was like, yeah. I mean, isn't that crazy? You know? And he was like, I'm really struggling. And I was like, well, you know, here's my, you know, main name and number. And, you know, I said, if I can share one thing with you, one thing is that success comes when you engage with other people fighting the battle.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of being a loner.
God, it's just miserable, isn't it?
Yep.
You know?
And isn't that interesting that whatever higher power is out there put the two of you together? Did you ever hear from him?
Yeah. Yeah. No, never heard from him. Never heard from him. And that's okay.
That's okay. I've hooked up with someone else on the basis of talking to you, or at least thought more about what he says he's thinking about, because you don't have any control over what he does.
Yeah. I asked him where he lived and he told me what part of town he was in. I was like, oh, you know, there's a club and he knew of it. And he was like, oh yeah. No, I know where that is. And I was like, well, you know, you show up.
Yep.
And you know, and we'll see. But, you know, I think that, you know, that's the deal.
That's the deal, right?
God, here's the interesting thing is that when I was drinking and using, you know, I mean, I wasn't like Godzilla just crashing down everything around me, but I was not a great guy. I was shifty. I was, you know, manipulative. I was irresponsible. I was inconsiderate, you know, and sometimes like on purpose, you know, and I think, you know, when you get sober, it's like God's giving you a second chance, you know, and it's like, you know, that's what I love about being in recovery is that I get a second chance, you know, and an opportunity comes to be there for somebody else and put their needs first and a time when you probably didn't in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what it comes down to, right? Is that showing up and you don't got to do anything. You don't got to be the big deal. You just need to show up and be there.
Yep. And keep trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's the thing, right? It's that great story in the back of the book, The Keys to the Kingdom. You know, it says that you never have to feel that awful ache of being alone.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
It's just, that was just the worst. Just that sense of I'm all by myself here. You know.
Well, Kevin, nobody, you certainly understand, have been a wonderful coda to our work with the 12 steps. And I appreciate all the insight that you've been giving us. I wonder if you have a final thing to say to our audience that you want to leave them with.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's an honor to be asked to share this information and talk about my experience. And it's an honor to be included in your community. You know, that's really neat. And if there's ever anything I can do, you know, just please speak up.
You're definitely on our list to keep in touch with.
Good. It's a good list to be on. I think, you know, I think, you know, here's the thing. I think this, you and I talked about this, right? And I think people are listening. I think here's the most important thing. You know, you don't got to be perfect. You know, you don't got to do everything right. I mean, I see people in AA get so caught up in, you know, this is the right way.
Right.
My way is the right way, right. The righteous path, you know? And, you know, I've been sober in 2 weeks from today. It'll be 34 years.
Congratulations. Okay? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And thank you, God, not Kevin. Kevin would still be out running around.
Right.
He just wouldn't have any consequences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, right? I have lived in California, Colorado, and Florida. And in each place, I've had people around me say, this is the right path. This is the only path.
Right.
My way is the right way. And I've always been, oh, okay. That's interesting. Because that's not how I do it, you know. And but, you know, I'm willing to listen and hear you out. And but, you know, the way I was taught is the way I was taught. And that's the way I teach other people. And, you know, everyone, don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in the community. Get caught up in being part of the gang. And you know, enjoy your life. Have fun. You know, our job is to offer hope. Hope of a different way
of
life.
Right.
That's it. That's it. That's all I got.
That's great. And I concur with what you're saying. And I hope that having gone through the 12 steps with people and tried not only to talk about the addiction part of it, but also that this is really a formula that can help people in all kinds of life situations.
Oh.
It started out with the Oxford Movement, which was a general thing, and yep. Bill W. and Dr. Bob put together and made it specific, and the message is still quite clear. I certainly hope that people who have been listening have gotten something from hearing us talk about the 12 steps, something that you can include in your life, and we wish you the best. We certainly would appreciate your feedback if people would call us at 720-712-8856 or email us at, now I'm trying to remember, helpline at aftersight.org. And we certainly welcome comments from people. We're not perfect. Though I tell people I am, but other than that, now we're not perfect. None of us are. And we certainly welcome the input from other people.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kevin, for being on. And we'll be keeping in touch. And to all of you, hope that you'll keep on listening to Blindsight. And because we have lots more interesting programs coming up. And so this is Bill Lundgren, your host, signing off and saying thank you to Kevin for being on the air.